Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Ron Ben Margarita, Sharon Katz, Shlomo Ben Sarah, Dorit Bat Sarah, and Ruth Bat Sarah, and to Ilui Neshamot, Elevating of the Souls, for Malka Bat Meir, Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Shlomo, Shifra Hoffman, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zeb Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Barry Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, Zipporah Fegi Bat Liba, and Charles Zolat. We're going to be discussing Andrew Cuomo's resignation and how Joe Biden, who did the same things Andrew Cuomo did and maybe even more. He was also a serial groper and someone who assaulted women repeatedly. And yet, Joe Biden is being given a complete pass here. And Andrew Cuomo was forced to resign. It's good that Andrew Cuomo was forced to resign. He deserves that. He deserves much worse punishment than that. He's a mass murderer, which we'll also discuss. But he's being pushed out of office because he sexually harassed women, Andrew Cuomo. And Joe Biden sexually harassed women just as much. And nothing's being done about that, and it's not even being mentioned. Hardly anyone is mentioning it. Very few people are even mentioning it. We're going to discuss that in a moment, but first I have two very sad announcements to make about people who passed away. I discovered last week that a very fine, magnificent, noble, beautiful Kahanist left this world. Shifra Hoffman, Zichrona Livracha, Aleha HaShalom. May her memory be blessed. May peace be upon her. Shifra Hoffman was with Moreinu Verabbeinu Harab Meir Kahana, Zecher Tzadik V'Kadosh Livracha, Hashem Yikom Damo, with our beloved Rabbi Meir Kahana, in the 70s and 80s when he was fighting to free Soviet Jews and fighting for Israel. She had a radio program where she was broadcasting every week to people, with a large audience, by the way. And she had a column that was widely read in the Jewish press, which a newspaper that has now become a joke, but at that time was a newspaper with a very wide circulation, thanks to Rabbi Kahana's columns in that paper. But Shifra Hoffman also had a weekly column in that paper. Unfortunately, Shifra passed away in late May of this year. I didn't even know about it until last week. Shifra was a wonderful person. She made Aliyah, by the way, in the 1980s. So for decades, she was living in Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, in Yerushalayim, in a Sephardic neighborhood in Yerushalayim, in a simple apartment that was almost like a studio apartment. I was in her apartment for Shabbat. I went to her apartment for Shabbat. And it was like a studio apartment, her and her husband, Reuven Hoffman, Zichrono Livracha Alav HaShalom, who also passed away a number of years ago. The two of them made Aliyah. They lived in Yerushalayim. They lived a simple life. But they never stopped fighting for the Jewish people and fighting for Jewish principles. And they made Aliyah. They moved to the land of Israel. And were just wonderful, magnificent Jews, saintly Jews. Shifra will be sorely missed. Everyone in our movement loved her. She was a wonderful human being, and she will be sorely, sorely missed. May Hashem elevate her to the highest levels of Gan Eden, to the highest levels of paradise for eternity. She deserves it. And the second sad announcement involves someone else that I knew, someone that I went to high school with, who was a friend of mine in high school, a good friend of mine in high school. He was a 65-year-old attorney, and he practiced law in Queens, New York, and he was found murdered last week in his office in Jackson Heights, which is a neighborhood in Queens, in his law office. Alav HaShalom, Zichrono Livracha. Alav HaShalom is, may peace be upon him, Zichrono Livracha, may his memory be blessed. Charles Olat, another fine, moral, wonderful human being. Very, very sad to see him brutally. He was brutally murdered, apparently by some disgruntled client for some reason. And he, let me tell you, if he was an attorney, and if he was dealing with people, he was a very fair and moral person. He was the type of person who when he practiced law or anything else he did in life, was very, he was very fair and very honest and very moral. So whoever murdered him for evil, completely evil reasons. It's hard for me to even move on now to the main topic now, because the news for me is very sad, because I knew these two people personally, and it hurts. It really hurts me. But this week was an eventful week. Yesterday, the day before this program was recorded, the evil Andrew Cuomo was forced to resign as governor of New York. Baruch Hashem, thank God, he deserved everything he got. He was a completely evil monster. I mean, he was a monstrous governor of New York. And he was forced to resign because he was caught sexually harassing 11 women. 11 women came forward and said that he touched them and harassed them and pressured them. And of course, that's disgusting and intolerable, and he should be forced to resign for that. There's no question about it. Joe Biden did the same thing. Joe Biden did the same thing, and then some. You can just Google Joe Biden touching women, feeling women. Joe Biden was kissing, touching, and feeling even young girls, even underage girls. And he did it publicly. And he used the excuse that, well, this is what politicians do. Politicians like to go up to girls and women and start kissing them and feeling them and hugging them. Yeah, I'm sure they do. You know, especially if they're immoral scum like Joe Biden. I mean, just the lowest of the low. You could go on Google and take and look at the pictures of Biden and how uncomfortable the women are while he's kissing them and hugging them and feeling them and putting his hands all over them. And yet he's getting a complete pass. He gets a complete pass from the establishment. It's an outrage. I mean, it really is an outrage. Cuomo, I just want to say a couple of other things, though, about Cuomo before we go into who's succeeding him in the race for governor and how it affects American politics. Cuomo murdered, as we've mentioned on this program before, 15,000 elderly people. And I might have used different figures, but now we know that it's 15,000. We thought it was less. But we now learn that, all in all, at least 15,000 elderly people who were helpless, who had nowhere to go, were forced into nursing homes during the height of the coronavirus, were completely unprotected and pushed into nursing homes. These were the most vulnerable people in nursing homes. These type of elderly people, they're in their 70s, 80s, 90s. A lot of them in their 80s and 90s. They don't have the physical strength to defend themselves against a very contagious virus like corona, and a deadly virus like corona. This was a death sentence. And he pushed them into these nursing homes. Because Donald Trump sent ships and sent thousands of beds to New York. He had plenty of bed space in a hospital-like setting to protect these people. They could have been protected. Many thousands of them, most of them would have survived. Most of them would never have gotten corona to begin with. But he didn't want Trump to get credit for that. He wanted to make sure Trump doesn't get credit, so he left thousands and thousands of beds that Trump had sent to New York on ships and through other means. He left those beds empty and pushed these elderly people into nursing homes where they faced very probable death. They were completely unprotected. They had very little chance of getting out alive. And he knowingly pushed them into these nursing homes and then covered it up. He's a mass murderer. May he burn in hell and rot and suffer for every innocent person who died because of him. May he rot forever for what he did to these poor elderly people. And that is much more serious than what he did to the 11 women. I'm not saying, by the way, the 11 women, I think he should go to prison even for that. I don't think any man has a right to put his hands on women and start kissing and hugging and grabbing women against their will. No man has a right to do that. No human being has a right to do that to another human being. And he should be not only be forced from office, he should not only be forced to resign, he should be put in prison for what he did. He's scum. He's a pervert. He's a disgrace. And Joe Biden is scum and a pervert and a disgrace just as much as he is. Joe Biden should also be put in prison for what he did to those women and girls. All these years, Joe Biden was feeling them and touching them, and he completely got away with it. But as bad as it is to touch and feel women against their will, as bad as that is, and it is bad, the deliberate, premeditated pushing of thousands of elderly people to death sentences just because you want to look good politically and you don't want your opponents to look good politically. You don't want them to get credit. He didn't want Trump and the federal government to get credit for bringing in the beds. And so he murdered 15,000 elderly people for that reason. This is a monster. A mass murdering monster, a butcher, a criminal of the worst type. The worst type of criminal. His mother, who's 89 years old, he pulled her out right away. He made sure, not only that, he made sure that his whole family got in front of the line to get vaccinated, even though they were not the right ages. He got them all vaccinated very fast, his whole family. And for his friends and donors, of course, he always got favors done because he was a low-life crook. He was a corrupt, evil, thieving low-life. And of course, he was an anti-Semite. These people who are so immoral, they're the ones who are the most likely to become anti-Semites and hate the Jews. Because the Jews are a symbol of morality in the world because they represent, they're the people of the Bible, they're people that God chose. And so, in the eyes of the world, properly, they represent God's people and they represent God in this world. They're like representatives of His on this planet. Now, they're not good representatives in this generation. Most of them are not good representatives. Nevertheless, they still are representatives. And so, immoral people really hate them. And Cuomo and his whole family were such long-time anti-Semites. His father was a vicious anti-Semite. His mother made anti-Semitic remarks. His father, Mario Cuomo, made anti-Semitic remarks. His father now is burning in hell. Yimach shmo v'zichro. He made anti-Semitic remarks. The minute he left the governor's office, Mario Cuomo, he started condemning Israel and turning on Israel. When he didn't need Jewish votes anymore, right away started turning on Israel. And Andrew Cuomo is just like Mario Cuomo, like his father and like his mother and like his whole family. A bunch of Nazis. Scum. Andrew Cuomo, he couldn't resist, you know, even when he was in front of that black congregation where they were playing I Got Rhythm, you know, they were playing this song which he identified as black music and everyone in the congregation identified as black music. And so he said, you know, you do have rhythm. Black people have rhythm. And he says, Italians, we don't have as much rhythm as you have, he said. So he put down his own people to suck up to the blacks. And then he said, but at least it's not as bad as our Jewish brothers who have no rhythm. They're the worst. They got no rhythm. The Jewish brothers really have no rhythm. In other words, he had to put the Jews down in the worst way. what a disgusting, ignorant Nazi pig. The Jews, first of all, the Jews were the ones who wrote most great American music in the past 100 years was written by Jews. Most of it was written by Jews. And the Jews are only 1% of the population. And that's true in every country, with every culture with the Jews. They're the tiniest percentage population and way out of proportion to their numbers. They contribute to music and culture and everything else. No one has more rhythm than the Jews. No one writes more music than the Jews. No one has done more to contribute to music, dance, culture than the Jews. No one. Way out of proportion to their numbers. And in fact, the song that he was making his comments on, I Got Rhythm, was written by a Jew. It was not a black song. Because the so-called best black music, I don't think black music in general is good at all. But this, I can't stand it. But the so-called best black music was written by Jews. That song was written by Gershwin. Gershwin and other Jewish writers, they're the ones who introduced so-called black music to whites. They're the ones who wrote all of that. The very song that he was using as an example of how Jews don't have rhythm was written by a Jew, not by a black person. And black people try to adopt it and copy it for themselves. Black people, their rhythm and their music is just some schwarza in Nigeria banging on some drum. Wa walla wana wana walla wana. I mean, compare that to the creativity, the genius, the musical genius of Jews, who, out of their own, you know, it's one thing to write Jewish music, for Jews to write good Jewish music, or Israeli Jews, for instance, to write good Hebrew music and Israeli music, but the Jews were able to write music for other groups that were better than the other groups themselves. In other words, Jews wrote black music that was better than the music the blacks themselves wrote. Jews in Latin America have tremendous influence on music, have had tremendous influence on the music industry in Latin America, writing better music than many of the Latinos. And the same thing is true in other cultures around the world. Certainly, the Jewish influence on European music. One of the things Hitler and the Nazis, Yimach Shmam V'Zichram Shemir Hashem Yirkav, one of the things they said was, all of our music now is Jewish. All the leading composers and most of the music is all written by Jews. That's what they were saying in the 1920s and 1930s in Germany. And the Jews were 1% of Germany's population and writing most of the music. I mean, where do you get a people that contributes so out of proportion to their percentage in the population? There's no other people on the face of the earth that comes even close to this. And Cuomo knocks them and says, the Jews don't have any rhythm. What a filthy anti-Semite, a filthy Jew-hating swine. Well, the new governor of New York will be another phony, another Democrat phony, the lieutenant governor of New York, Kathy, I don't know if you pronounce her name Hochul. I don't know what her name is. But her name is Kathy Hochul or Hochul. I don't know how to pronounce it. And she's going to be the new governor of New York. And she's a complete fraud, of course. She pretended to be a conservative Democrat and was even endorsed by the Conservative Party when she was running as a Democrat in several of the races in upstate New York, because she's from upstate, from a Republican area in upstate New York. And so she ran as a conservative Democrat and pretended that she's really a conservative in order to get elected. As soon as she became lieutenant governor under Andrew Cuomo, she moved all the way to the left. She's a complete phony. Just like all these politicians, they're so phony. They're such frauds. There's not an honest bone in their body. And if you think she's bad, the people that will probably challenge her in the Democrat primary next year, because the race for governor of New York is next year, the black and communist opponents that she's going to have will probably be, she's got black Muslims that are thinking of running against her, and you know, with Muslim names at least, Jumaine Williams. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be the governor of New York. Ooh, Jumaine Williams. Mm-hmm. And communists and others that are thinking of running. It's just, New York is in a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. That's on the Democrat side. We'll see. Maybe she, as governor, maybe she will easily win the primary because she's going to be an incumbent governor. Who knows? And they're already touting her as the first. It's so exciting. We have the first female governor. I mean, big deal. Big deal. Why does the gender of a politician, why is that important? It's completely ridiculous. But she's going to be the new governor, and she will continue to pursue left-wing Democrat policies, you can be sure of it. And the people who will run against her in the primary next year are even worse. They'll pursue even more left-wing policies than what she wants if they defeat her in the primary. We'll see. The primary next year is in June of 2022. We'll see what happens. And we'll see how it affects the future of New York, which I don't think looks good at all. And on the Republican side in New York, we've mentioned this before, you've got Congressman Lee Zeldin. He's running for governor. This is a self-hating Jew who's married to, I think she's Puerto Rican, his wife. He's Hispanic. She's not Jewish, that's for sure. So he's already committed treason against his own people. He's not loyal to his own people. And you know, he believes in the Trumpster version of Middle East diplomacy and so-called peace. He praises Trump for the terrible agreements that Trump made with the United Arab Emirates and the others, and that's the type of thing he supports. You know, let me tell you something, with Jews like that, that's not much better than Bernie Sanders. Not at all. Not at all. Because, you know, what Trump and Netanyahu were doing with those agreements very much endangered Israel's survival. Very much. The Arabs were ready to buy up the whole Israeli stock market. They were going to come in with billions of dollars and buy up the whole Israeli economy. And they were ready wanted to buy the port in Haifa. That's Israel's most strategic port. They were going to buy the whole port. The Arabs were going to buy it and own it. Arab enemies of Israel. They were going to buy up Israel's technology companies, buy up Israel's sports teams, buy up Israel's media. I mean, that's one sure way to bury the Jewish state, to have the Arabs come in and buy up everything and control everything in the Jewish state. That'd be the end of the Jewish state. God forbid. That's what Netanyahu and Trump were doing to Israel with those agreements between Israel and rich Persian Gulf Arab countries, letting the Arab countries come in and pour billions of dollars to buy up the Israeli economy. It would have been a catastrophe for Israel. A catastrophe. And they're still doing it, but it's on a lesser scale. Now that Trump is no longer president, and now that his animal son-in-law, thank God, is no longer in the White House, and now that Netanyahu is no longer prime minister. So it's not what it was. That's not to say that the people who replaced them are good. The people who replaced them are also terrible. But let it be known that the crazy Jews who think that was so pro-Israel what Trump did. What an insane people the Jews are. So insane. So insane. And I'm not going to go into why his moving the embassy to Jerusalem was not important for Israel at all and did nothing for Israel. And they still want to make Jerusalem the capital of a so-called Palestinian state. Moving the embassy did nothing to prevent that, did nothing to enhance Israel's security in any way. In any way, they were still not allowing, they don't even allow Jews to build in Jerusalem, and they allow Arabs to build all over the city. Jews are not even allowed to build in their own capital in the eastern part of Jerusalem, because they want to make the eastern part of Jerusalem, the capital of a so-called Palestine state, even though there is no Palestine, there are no Palestinians. So the moving of the capital to Jerusalem was nothing for Israel. Nothing. It was a lie. It was an illusion. It was actually, on balance, it was bad. Because it gave Jews the illusion, now everything is wonderful, now we're secure. Now Jerusalem is secure, when the opposite was true, always was true. And recognizing sovereignty over the Golan Heights, big deal. Big deal. The minute the Syrian civil war ends, if we have a Syrian dictator controlling the country again, I guarantee you that they're going to be offered control over the Golan Heights again. If, God forbid, that happens. And the so-called sovereignty and other complete recognition of sovereignty, these things, they have no value whatsoever. Only self-hating Jewish worms who desperately crawl before the nations of the world and beg and scrape and desperately want the approval of the nations of the world. Only Jewish worms are worried. I need recognition. I need approval. I'm winging who and I'm worried and oh and yeah and you got to recognize and move the embassy and ooh, ooh. I need allies. The prophets in the Bible warn Israel against depending on allies, including the United States. The United States, Israel cannot depend on the United States or any other country. Israel has to depend on herself and on Hashem, especially on Hashem and on herself. Now, Congressman Lee Zeldin, he's going to be running in the Republican primary for governor of New York. Or at least he said he is. I don't know if he'll... We'll see if they all the people said they were going to run, because they were expecting to run against Andrew Cuomo, who was very weakened, obviously, by all the scandals. We'll see if they still run now that Cuomo is going to be out. I don't know. If the governor, Kathy Hochul, becomes a popular governor, which in left-wing New York is possible, if that happens, you know, some of the Republicans who said they were going to run may decide not to run, after all. But we'll see. If Congressman Lee Zeldin decides to run, we, of course, will oppose him vigorously. By the way, Andrew Giuliani, the son of Mayor Rudy Giuliani, has said that he may run. I'll tell you the truth. Rudy Giuliani did a great job in New York City. He turned the city around. So if Andrew Giuliani could do that for New York State as governor, if he could do a third of what his father did for the city, if he could do that for the state, he could temporarily save New York from completely going under. So Andrew Giuliani is probably the candidate, you know, and we certainly, he's probably the candidate who is the lesser of the evils in this case, and who should be supported. And we certainly would prefer Andrew Giuliani over Lee Zeldin. We'd even prefer, I have news for you. If a Jewish Republican like Lee Zeldin, it doesn't matter, Jewish Democrat, Jewish Republican, if a Jew is running against a Goy, we support the Goy. These Jews always stab their own people in the back. They're the worst example for their own people. We don't want Jewish politicians getting elected outside of Israel. So I wouldn't support Zeldin, even if he won the Republican primary and ran against the left-wing Democrat. We still would not support him. You should not support the Jewish candidate. Jews used to come out in droves every time a Jew ran for office. These self-hating animals like Jacob Javits, senator from New York, and Abraham Ribicoff, the senator from Connecticut, the lowest, most evil, backstabbing, self-hating beasts, they would get elected to office because they're Jewish. All the Jews came out and would vote for them and give huge amounts of contributions, and all the Jews would have lots of money for television commercials and for advertising, and they would get elected. And then as soon as they're in office, the first thing they do is prove how loyal they are to America by stabbing Israel in the back. We're not loyal to Israel. We don't believe in dual loyalty. No, we're loyal. How low. The worst thing is to vote for the Jewish politician. Outside of Israel, we shouldn't have Jews, should not run for office, and we should not support Jewish politicians outside of Israel. We're continuing our fight. This week, we saw more attacks on the hilltop outposts. Once again, this time they destroyed a yeshiva. They've destroyed more outposts, but they're going to be rebuilt. We will continue this fight. They destroy the young, heroic young Jews of the hilltop youth, come in and rebuild it. And they rebuild it. It's not built fancy, it's not a fancy structure, but they rebuilt it over and over again. And, you know, last week we spoke to you about a hilltop community that was destroyed 7 times in 1 month, and they keep coming back and rebuilding and rebuilding. They are determined to have Jewish control of those strategic hilltops, not to allow the Arab Nazi enemies of Israel to have strategic control of those hilltops, because if the Arab Nazi enemy gets control of the strategic hilltops, God forbid, they're going to have a Palestinian state in everything but name. 95% of the territory of Judea and Samaria will be under their control if they have control of the hilltops connecting all of their communities and cutting off Jewish communities. Would be a disaster. Those hilltops are essential, and that's why the Israeli government doesn't allow us to settle there, and that's why heroic Jewish youth are settling there anyway, And JTF is the only organization supporting those heroic Jewish youth who say we have a right to settle in our own homeland and prevent the Arab Nazi terrorists from creating a terrorist state in the biblical homeland of Israel. So that's what our struggle is all about. This was a sad week for me, again, because of the losses. I'm at an age, you know, in December I'll be 65 years old, so I'm at an age where a lot of the people I've known in the world leave the world. I'm at an age where I see more funerals than bar mitzvahs and britot. Britot are, you know, when we circumcise our sons on the eighth day after they were born. So I'm in that period of life where we see a lot of funerals, we see a lot of death. But we as Jews believe that the day will come when there'll be an end to death and an end to suffering. Because remember, in the end, the good guys are going to win, and they're going to win for eternity. I don't know if we're going to live to see it in our lifetime. Maybe not, but it will happen someday. And in the meantime, we have to do everything we can to bring the truth to people and fight for the truth and prevent Israel from doing things that are suicidal and insane, like creating a so-called Palestine state. That would be the most insane thing that would cause terrible suffering. And it would be a horrific historic tragedy if that happened. And it has to be stopped. And it's shocking and horrifying that JTF is the only organization, the United States, Israel, or anywhere else, that is consistently sending money to support and fund these hilltop youth. Just disgraceful. Just disgraceful. I wish other people would get involved and would help them as well. In any event, we're going to continue doing what we're doing, and you great JTFers, with your support and your help and working all together, hopefully we'll be able to achieve our goal of making this a better world. Because if we work together as a team, we can make this a better world. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.